Drew McIntyre here from WWE. Wielding the Claymore can be a life of chaos. When I'm not dominating in the ring, Chumba Casino is how this warrior takes a wee break. With hundreds of online social games and new weekly releases, there's always something fresh to try. And those daily boosts, next level. Even my free time feels like Valhalla. So when life feels like a battle, kick up your feet, have some fun, and let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
And a happy Wednesday, everybody. Welcome in Chase and Big Joe. 102.5, 106.3 the game. He is Big Joe Dubin. I am Chase McCabe. And behind the glass, the one and only Dr. Crane, Nick Frazier, on the ones and twos, who probably woke up at 4 a.m. Did you?
I sure did.
So what's funny is, I guess I'm at that age now where, you know, I have about 3:30, 4 o'clock. I have to wake up because I have to go pee.
Nature calls.
Nature calls. Yep. I was warned about that. I was told that that was going to happen at some point. And I guess 36 was when it happened.
Right.
And so I woke up and then I couldn't go right back to sleep. And I was like, I bet Dr. Crane's already awake. He's probably fixing ovens or something.
You should have texted him.
I was up making some coffee and stretching. Yeah, I tell everyone here, like, they need something that we're planning on for the day. Like, Caroline, today I was in traffic. She's like, hey, you think you could cut this one thing? I'm like, yeah, well, I'm in traffic. When I get there, I can do it. But if you need something at, like, 5 in the morning, I'll be awake.
You're a good man.
Thank you, sir.
You do a good job.
Try to be assistant to others, you know.
Yeah, well, you know, I like that. I wanted to help out the city of Nashville this morning, and so every now and then I volunteer for this project, and it's a labor of love.
Oh, okay.
And that is, I make sure every red light is working perfectly.
Nice.
And from West Nashville over to our station by the airport, they are functional, so everything's working great. I kid you not, I caught every one, and that's always my joke of, hey, I'm checking the red lights. I'll be there in a few minutes. I'm making sure that they all work. And they did. They were good.
You know who we blame for that?
Who?
We blame you for that.
Blame me for?
You got to leave earlier, man.
Oh, yeah. I left her. I did leave early.
You got to leave earlier to do that.
Actually, you know who I truly blame for that? My dog, because he did not want to go inside.
Okay. Well, let's have his side of the story.
His side of the story would be, Joe, it was a nice, cool morning, and he literally will stand there and, like, raise his head up and the wind blows through his hair. Like, he's that.
It's a Pyrenees, right?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So he enjoys the outdoors.
He does.
A little bit. Is he lazy?
No, not really. He's not going to be a farm dog.
Okay. Like, what's he doing right now?
He is probably sitting in a chair that he's not supposed to be sitting in, staring out the window.
Really?
Yes.
Does he wait anxiously for his dad to return home?
Yes. He sits there and watches what's going on. He'll bark at, like, if a leaf falls, he'll bark at it.
Well, he's keeping you safe, man.
Yeah.
So when you let him out, is he potty trained to stay in the yard, or does he, like, you got to watch him?
So, yes.
Here we go.
But
yeah.
Great Pyrenees are known to be stubborn and very strong-willed. So if he sees somebody walking down the street, he thinks, oh, there's my friend. And he'll take off. So I do have to put him on a leash just to.
Kind of like you on Broadway.
Yeah, basically.
It's the same thing. Well, it's good, man. It sounds like a good boy, and he's protecting the house. So.
He is. He is a good boy.
I will tell you this, and we've discussed this before about traffic. The new Donaldson Pike, I'm telling you right now, man, it's dangerous because it's next to the runway. And I told you last week, I drifted over to the other lane watching a plane take off. There were like 5 planes lined up this morning taking off. And it's just, I'm just a big fat kid and I'm just fascinated by airplanes. And you look over and see that, and people know what I'm talking about. And you watch the planes land and take off, man. And you got to be careful over there. I don't know what the end plan is for Donaldson Pike. I love it. But at the same time, you got to be careful because, man, you're just watching these planes go. Next thing you know, oh, you're getting honked at.
Right. I do wonder if that's going to be a – like, I guess that's permanent, how they've done it.
I guess. I don't know. There's so much construction over there. I don't know. And then there's a giant hotel right next to the runway, part of the new construction over there. I mean, it looks great. I mean, I'm like
– I've just kind of given up on trying to keep up with, you know, Nashville and its growth and – you know, there are days where I'll be, You know, I'll drive down a street and I'll look and see a building, and then the next day that building's gone. And then,
right.
And then 2 days later, there's another building where that building used to be, and I'm like, wait, what the?
Well, I just found out the downtown Y.
Where did this Walgreens come from?
Downtown Y is gone. They're building the biggest skyscraper in the state of Tennessee. Or
wait, the Y is gone?
Downtown Y, yeah. The corner of, is it 9th and Church? It's gone.
I believe so. Did you guys hear about the Krispy Kreme as well on Thompson Lane?
It's gone?
Yeah, well, a fire happened Sunday, late Sunday.
Okay.
So my synopsis is they're probably going to tear it down and turn it into something.
Dang,
but
I just drove by that.
Yeah.
Well, you should have. That story could have waited until 11:01.
I'm sorry.
Because now I'm upset.
Well, here's the thing, Joe.
I didn't know this.
I grew up on that Krispy Kreme. It was right down from school for me. Legit, probably 2 minutes, if that. Maybe one. And I remember the priest would always get us all Krispy Kreme donuts. We'd, you know, be able to, I guess we had like a little lunch thing. Then we had a Dads and Donuts Day where all the dads would come in.
Yeah.
Krispy Kreme would supply all the donuts.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, that's, I did a story one time about a guy who prepares all that in the morning. And I was like, if I worked here, I would be 900 pounds in no time. He's like, oh, you get, you know, because you stop just kind of, you know, wanting the donut. I'm like, no, I wouldn't. I would just keep on and on and on. So. I hate to hear that. Hope they're back up and running soon.
Hopefully so.
So you didn't know the downtown Y was gone?
No.
Yeah, it's gone. I mean, there's a giant hole. They're building a gigantic building now with that Girantano guy. Tony Girantano is building he built the 505 building down there. He built another building down there.
Well, and I mean, truthfully, the only time now I go downtown is if I'm going to a Preds game or a Titans game or an event at the arena or Nissan Stadium. I really don't go downtown much.
Well, there was another announcement yesterday about Nashville Yards and Pinnacles putting some money down. They're building like not arena, but a small concert hall. I mean, it's just that whole infrastructure down there is crazy.
Yeah, and here's another thing. I promise we are going to talk sports today, but we're off on a little tangent.
That's
which
fine,
for those
man.
Of you that listen to the show every day, you know that happens. We have all these nicknames for certain parts of our city. Like Nashville Yards or Sobro or
yep.
What's another
game? My new favorite's Chestnut.
Yeah. Wedgwood Houston, you know, these things. And I know that that's like
right.
the area, but we never called it that.
I mean,
Wedgwood Houston was like Berry Hill, right?
That's right. Well, yeah. Kind of on down. It was just kind of like 8th Avenue, that area. There was an event somebody had over in Chestnut. Like, yeah, it's over in Chestnut Hill in that area. I'm like, in Boston? They're like, no, Chestnut Hill. And it's over there by we never called it that.
Right. I mean, and like, here's my thing.
It was like, who gave it the name? I get it.
And this is where I'm going to go off on my little rant.
Do it, buddy.
Because I was born and raised here. As were you. I mean, I know you moved away for a little bit, but you claim Nashville home.
That's right.
You've lived here pretty much your whole life, as have I. And like I hear that, like somebody referred to Nashville Yards one day, and I'm like, where the hell is that? And they're like, oh, how could you not know that? And like, as a Nashvillian, that is such a historic area. And I go, when did you move here? 3 years ago. I'm like, shut your bleeping mouth.
Well, I didn't know where it is.
I guess. I mean
Yards
downtown.
Mean railways, right? Is it Union Station? Is that where Union Station is?
It's downtown, I guess. I don't know. Like the Gulch. We never... I mean, the Gulch was not like really a good term, and now it's like every, you know, the Gulch was because it was just a giant hole.
Right. And the road collapsed yesterday.
Yeah.
Division Street down there collapsed.
Did it really?
Yeah. It's a huge hole in the road. Yeah. Huge.
Good Lord.
That happened yesterday. So, yeah, there is, I get it, and I get progress happens and things change and we're curmudgeons, and I understand all that. But at the same time, quit renaming things that really didn't. I read a name in the first name, like the Nashville Yards and the Chestnut Hill area and all those places like that.
I'm with you both on this one. Like when people say like, oh, we're at Nashville Yards, I'm like, you make me question, do I actually still live in the same city I grew up in?
What about Capitol View?
I'm not getting
it. A friend of mine says his son just bought a condo in Capitol View. I was like, oh, okay. I've been to D.C. several times. And he's like, no, it's a Capitol View. It's downtown next to the Capitol. I was like, what? And then you go by them, like, I had no idea that's what they call
it. Yeah, Capitol View is another one.
Yeah.
It's like we've given all these names. And the thing that is funny about it is the people that are giving them all these names are the ones that have lived here less than 10 years. And it's
right.
Like, let's just, like, I'll tell this story. I've never told this on the air, but I.
Do it, buddy.
Forget it. I'm going to. So You may or may not know, I think I've said this before, my family owned the Loveless Cafe for 30 years. My grandmother, my grandfather, who passed away before I was born, my uncle, you know, my dad worked there. I unofficially worked there, you know, as my first job. So Loveless was a big part of my life. Well, my freshman year in high school, 2003, my grandmother was ready to retire, and so they sold it. She sold it to, you know, the people, the group that bought it and fixed it up and everything. Because it needed work, and, you know, just at her age, okay, she didn't want to put all that into it. Was ready to spend time with me. I was her only grandson. And and then, you know, her twin sister had grandchildren, and her twin sister had passed away, and so wanted to spend time with them. And so sold it and everything. Well, they, you know, they renovate it and invite us back and stuff like 6 months later, and we go, and, you know, it's awesome. And what they've done with it has been fantastic. Sure. You know, it's still the historic Loveless. Well, like a year and a half, 2 years later, and it was hard for me at first because it was like I had grown up there and then it's changed and it's just different. And so I didn't go back for a while, and I was like, you know what? I'm ready to go. I'm ready to go have breakfast and go see Carl Fay, the biscuit lady and everything. And, cause she had, you know, been a friend of the family. And so we walk in there, and I'm with my friend Logan, and he's just like, he can't wait for this. Cause he knows that I'm like apprehensive and nervous. And there's, the manager is there, the GM, and they're doing this whole thing where it's like, you know, welcome in and welcome back. And let me tell you, they have this whole spiel about our history and things like that. And so they start on that. I'm like, hey, I'm good. Like, yeah, you know, like, yeah. I, of course, Logan's like, no, I want to hear more about the history. Tell us about it. So they're doing this whole little tour thing and walk into a room, and he goes, this wallpaper was hung up by Annie Loveless herself. And I just like start laughing.
It's wrong.
He's like, what's funny about that? And I go, no, my uncle hung that up in 1992.
Uh-huh. Were there other people on this tour?
No. Oh, okay. I mean, it was just like as you walk in.
Oh, goodness.
But it's like this old-looking wallpaper that my uncle had gotten somewhere, and he's the one that hung it up.
Can you imagine how many people he's told? What, was his face red? Did he like, oh.
He didn't know what to say.
Oh, my goodness.
It was the funniest thing. I couldn't help myself. And of course, my friend's just dying laughing because he could see my face.
Right. Yeah.
So
yeah. I wonder how many people he's told that story to. Like, oh, I mean, not that you busted him, but.
No, yeah, that, yeah. I don't know. And this that was like 10, 15 years ago. Or
George
like
Washington sat right over there in that chair.
No, but Vince Gill did.
Vince Gill. Yeah. Same chair at same time. Yeah. Oh, that's good.
So we're, excuse me, we're up and running.
You okay, buddy? You're a little upset about the wallpaper.
No, I'm not. I just got checked up there. John McClain going to join us at 9:30. Philip Forsberg will join us at 10:30 today. Predators in action tonight. We'll also have a pair of tickets to tonight's game to give away at some point during the show. There's something that Stillman brought up yesterday. I heard Robbie and Rexro talking about it today. And I'm going to be honest, I'm not really that concerned about it. But are you? And we will discuss that coming up next.
Okay, a little teaser. I like it.
Chasing Big Joe on a Wednesday, 102.5, 106.3, the game.
9:15. Let's have a great day, everybody.
What was that from? Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, the game.
Other guys.
Was that the other? Oh, I love that movie.
I tried to do my best at bleeping it out, but it just didn't work out the best.
No, that's okay. That movie is one of those that whenever like you're flipping through and it's on, I have to stop and watch it.
It's a good movie.
Like it's not like it's not the best movie, but it's just funny. And it's one of those like the more you see it, the funnier it is.
Yes, The Rock's in it too.
Yeah.
For a brief moment.
Yeah. For like not long.
The first 15 minutes of the movie, I believe.
Something like that.
Just aim for the bushes, baby.
So we a few things. We are being misinformed. The Downtown Y is still open, but not part of the services are open and things that are there. But it's going to be torn down soon, everything, to build the building, right? Is that what we've gathered on this thing now?
I don't know. I mean, from what our fine listeners – and by the way, we appreciate those of you that understand that – we're not always right. Sometimes we're misinformed. And then we appreciate those that just yell at us and say that we're spreading rumors. Yeah. So according to something that was sent, is a construction notice as of December. I guess some things will be open. Some things are not.
The indoor pool, basketball court, racquetball court, sauna, steam room, 15th Avenue parking lot, 10th Avenue parking lot are all gone. As of December 1st, down to what? The wellness floor, the group fitness classes, the Y play, and the locker rooms. Well, I mean, so all the things that made the downtown Y special are gone.
Yeah.
The pool, the racquetball courts, the basketball courts.
So
gone.
Are they replacing the things that are being...
I don't know. I mean, that's a great question.
Because the report we saw didn't specify any of this, so that's why.
The northern section of the downtown Y still open. The section on the corner of Church Street is being rebuilt with a larger pool than 7 stories tall. The 1010 Church condo tower will be just to the west, be Nashville's tallest building at 750 feet. So there you go.
Okay.
Thank you, Mark, for letting us know that.
Yeah. And thank you, Kathy, for keeping us on our toes there. We're aware that our app is having issues today. Our engineers are up and at them and working on it, and so hopefully they can get that fixed soon. Not really sure what it is, but why it's not working. But
you can go to YouTube, right?
Yeah, you can watch us on YouTube, Twitch, X, aka Twitter, Facebook, and of course listen on terrestrial radio 102.5, 106.3, and 97.5 in the borough. So you can check us out there. All right. So I guess the report is that Rand Carthon is currently not at the Senior Bowl. That I believe Chad Brinker is, and they have, you know, a delegation that's down there. Obviously, the Titans are, you know, they just hired a coach. Carthon is a part of the process to build the staff, build the coaching staff. And so he's here working on that as they're going through the current staff and deciding who they're going to keep and who they're not going to keep and all of that. And, you know, I heard Stillman make a big deal about it yesterday and Carthon not being there and, you know, that's not a good thing. And Trevor kind of weighed in and said he thinks the GM should be there too. And look, I know where that's coming from with Jared because Floyd would be there. Like Floyd is, you know, was very hands on. And so Floyd would have probably been at the Senior Bowl, you know, and I get that. But it doesn't really bother me that much. As long as somebody from the Titans is there. And here's the thing. If 31 other GMs are there, then okay, that's a problem. But
how do you know they're not?
Well, because not every team has a GM and just hired GMs. And two, I know it's mostly scouts.
But what else is he doing that he can't do at the Senior Bowl?
Well, I guess he's a part of the, you know, coaching search for assistant coaches and helping
Callahan with that. That's a call me on the
phone.
Yeah,
but I mean, now you can
do you not want to see players up front? I mean, what else are you got going on?
Well, but as Paul described it this morning, I've never been to the Senior Bowl, so I can't speak on exactly what happens. But I know in talking to Teron and hearing from Paul that, you know, a lot of times GMs and coaches, like, they get more from the film that, you know, they can watch later. And they're just talking. They're, like, having conversations and stuff.
I unless you got something better to do, I don't know why you would not be there. That's
The bigger deal to me is be at the combine, you know,
sure.
in the pro days and things like that. Like, I didn't know this. I heard them talking about it this morning that I guess McVay doesn't go to the combine, which to me, that's dumb.
Okay. Well, I think as a GM, unless you got something better to do, your job is evaluating talent and being the final say-so, go for 2 days.
Right.
Go and see.
Right. But I mean, like, what if he shows up later in the week? Like, does he have to be there the whole week?
No, but at least make an appearance down there.
Yeah, and who says he's not going to?
Well, it's Wednesday. He's not there.
Well, I mean, I don't know. I don't think it's that big of a deal.
I mean, unless there's something else more, like he's got to go to the DMV or something. Or I don't know. Get his oil changed. Something, right? I don't know why he wouldn't be there. I just go down and evaluate the talent. Get an eye to see for yourself. Maybe there's something you see that one of the scouts doesn't see that you paid attention to, and you didn't get the report back you want to see in person. I don't know. Maybe that's just me, but I would go. It's football-centric. The top juniors and seniors in the draft, most of them are going to be there. Go see them play. Go see the one-on-ones.
Okay. I mean, I don't know. I just think there's so much time to evaluate, and, like, I know you want to be there in person. That's why I think the combine is so important and pro days. And
a lot of guys
and team
don't
visits
do the full workout at the combines.
Yeah, but they do at their pro day, or they can come and do a team visit.
They can do the. I know the interviews are important and all that, but I don't know. Maybe I'm different, but I would go to the Senior Bowl and check things out. That's me, and nobody and asked
could,
me.
The thing is, things have changed. I mean, there's so much that they feel they can do virtually. You know, from what
as
we learned.
In a coaching search, your assistant coaches you can do on the phone down there in Mobile. Phone rings. Yeah. Hey, Ram, think about this Charles McCabe guy over there at 102.5 for director of scouting. I mean, there's all things you could do to figure that out. But
I mean, like, don't you also, as the GM, I mean, like, your job is to manage generally, right? I mean, that's the joke. but you can
right
delegate. And I know that, you know, Chad Brinker doesn't necessarily report to Rand. They kind of work more side by side now. But I mean, I think from what I know about Chad Brinker and how he's been described, I think if he's the one down there doing some of the evaluating, which is what he's done, you know, since he's been here, I think that's okay.
Okay.
I mean, he's a good talent evaluator, too.
Yeah, I wouldn't have a problem with it. I'm just curious why you aren't there. That's my thing. That's my thing. When all the great talent is assembled in one place, go down and see, and maybe you like, you know, this one guy, and you see he's a tackle, and he steps with his left foot, not his right foot, and you want to see, I don't know. There's all kind of things. I'm a football lover guy, so I would I would eat all that up just to be there and see that.
We know who we can ask. Who will?
That's right.
Who will know? We can ask John McClain. He's going to join us next here on the Chase and Big Joe Show, presented by Regal Realty Group, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Chase and Big Joe broadcasting from the Spring Hill Heating and Cooling Game Nashville Studios, keeping your home feeling comfortable all year round, as we do every Wednesday at 9:30. Must listen. John McClain joins us now from Houston. John, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing great, guys. How are you?
Doing fantastic. Always appreciate the time with you. So we were just debating this. I guess the reports are General Manager Rand Carthon not currently at the Senior Bowl, and I don't really think that's that big of a deal. He may go later in the week. He's got people down there. The Titans are represented down at the Senior Bowl. Do you find it to be a big deal that a GM isn't at every event with the Senior Bowl, or is that something that they should probably be at?
No, because everything is taped. They can get every single workout, get the game. I remember Gary Kubiak when he was here. Gary, he liked to talk to people, look them in the eye, ask them certain questions, and you do that in one-on-one meetings, and you don't get those over at the Senior Bowl. You get them at the combine for 15 minutes. You can get tape anywhere to watch the players. And so, no, I don't think it's important. Plus, he's got trusted assistants over there to relay things back to him. And they're going to see him at the combine. They're going to see him. And if they like him, they'll bring him in there for their 30 visits. Then if they like him, they can go. They'll go to their pro days. They can have private workouts with him. So, and no, I do not think it's a big deal.
So I guess the other rumor is that Bobby Slowick has agreed to a new contract with the Texans. So it looks like he's going to remain in Houston as the offensive coordinator.
Yeah, he was always going to be here. He interviewed for jobs. He wasn't ready to be a head coach to call plays. If you're going to have a guy as a head coach who's only called plays 1 year, that's not enough experience to me, even though Slowick did a tremendous job. You know, I just think you need another year like so many other coordinators do. And usually when you hear, and he never had a thing like Ben Johnson where he's removed his name. Usually they're told you, thank you, but you're not one of our candidates anymore. And then they'll say, well, I'm coming back because I love being a coordinator. You know, in Bobby Slowick's case, he didn't get a job. And so the Texans, in fairness, gave him a new contract. They gave their quarterback coach, Gerard Johnson, who did a tremendous job with C.J. Stroud, gave him a new contract as well to reward them for a job well done and the fact that those guys were being pursued, Slowick for head coaching jobs and Johnson for coordinator jobs. So, and I didn't think Johnson was ready either. His first year he'd been a quarterback coach. So I think next year Slowick will be gone and Gerard Johnson can be elevated to offensive coordinator.
Yeah, that's the thing, John. I mean, all the outrage, like, why would not Ben Johnson go be a head coach? You know, maybe he just didn't want to be, right?
or he was told, thanks, but we're going in a different direction. And then he's put it out. Well, he's decided to come back and be a coordinator. No, he's interviewed for jobs. He interviewed here, oh, gosh, Joe, last year, and when they knew they were going to hire DeMeco, but they said Ben Johnson was great in his interview.
What do you make that Seattle and Washington still are out there with looking for head coaches? Now, can they not hire a head coach after the Super Bowl?
Well, it depends on who they're wanting to hire. You know, the league doesn't want you doing things during Super Bowl week to distract from it, but sometimes teams do. Now, if they want to wait till hire somebody after the Super Bowl, one of the coordinators, sure, they could do it. Ben Johnson, everybody said, was going to Washington until he didn't. And I always thought Bill Belichick would have been ideal for Washington. Don't know if he'd wanted to go there. They got a lot of cooks in that kitchen. And with Josh Harris, the controlling owner, saying he wants the minor partners to be a part of it, well, that's asking for trouble. With Magic Johnson tweeting after games whether he thinks the team played well or poorly. Bob Myers, great GM of the Warriors, he got a job, and his is permanent. So that's just a lot going on for a guy like Belichick who wants a lot of control. But the reason I say that, you know, he was born in Nashville, but he grew up in Annapolis where his dad was assistant coach at Navy forever. And Belichick loves history. He loves everything about history. And what city has more history than Washington, D.C.? So I just thought it would be a good one, but they didn't interview him. And now I can't wait to see what they're going to do. There's nobody from the Chiefs, I don't think, who's in the running for a job. Now, Mike McDonald is the defensive coordinator, 36, been a coordinator 2 years for the Ravens. You know, he's been getting interviews. I'd love to see Seattle get Mike Vrabel because they've got a really good running game. They got all pieces in place for the quarterback. You know, maybe they'll go with Geno Smith again, but if you don't draft somebody you think has a chance to develop, you know, the Seahawks had a winning record. You know, it's hard to get a quarterback like that. Not impossible, as the 49ers have showed, but it's a really deep draft for quarterbacks, and there's probably going to be 5 or 6 taken in the first round.
Were you surprised Seattle, that job is still open?
Yep. The owner's not involved. It's all John Schneider, GM. He didn't have final say when Pete Carroll was there. Now he has final say. So I'm sure he wants to be thorough and talk to as many people as he can. But there's no reason not to hire somebody this week. I think one or both of those jobs will be filled by the end of the week, unless they're waiting on one of the coordinators with a Super Bowl team.
So, John, I thought that Dan Quinn would have a really good shot at that job because of his history there and, you know, his stock being so high. But do you think that playoff game really hurt his stock and maybe he you know, is going to miss out in this coaching cycle?
He could. I thought the same thing, Chase, that he was there for, was it 5 or 6 years working with Pete Carroll? He's a natural. You know, usually you don't go defensive coordinator to offensive coordinator. And Pete Carroll was a defensive coordinator. I mean, you usually do go the opposite side of the ball. And Dan Quinn being another defensive coordinator, I think if Quinn came there, maybe they have some reservations about being more of the Pete Carroll way. Although I don't know why anything would be bad. I mean, even when he got fired, they had a winning record, and he did a tremendous job overall. And it could be that if you're going to hire Quinn, you want to make it look like you've talked to a lot of other people, and you have. And after a lot of consternation, it was clear to you that Dan is the best candidate for the job, rather than just hiring him and bringing him in and people, why didn't you talk to other candidates? My God, didn't you watch that Dallas playoff game? So in the whole scheme of things, people are going to talk about it, write about it, but one bad game doesn't make for a bad coach, especially one who took a team to the Super Bowl and should have won, except for a miracle comeback by Tom Brady.
Now, you know how this works. We don't know every little thing, but I know that in our conversations that you and I have both felt that if Vrabel did leave the Titans, he'd have a job in 5 minutes, and that hasn't been the case. So do you think that it's that stuff has come out maybe behind the scenes that you know, whatever, or is it more him of he can be picky because he knows that Amy's got to pay him and he could take a year off?
Yeah, I don't know. I would imagine Mike wants to work, but I don't know. It could be that there's not a job he wants. It could be that he interviewed and they took somebody else. I think Atlanta would have been a great job for Vrabel because they got two running backs, knowing how Mike likes to run the ball, control the clock, play good defense. They got everything but a quarterback, but they have the 8th overall pick. They'll have a shot to get one after the top three if that's what they want to do, or try to sign a veteran like Kirk Cousins. So I don't have any idea what's going on with Vrabel. I thought he would have had a job. I can't even remember how many he's interviewed for. But if you don't want to do it now, I'd love to see Vrabel on TV with his personality in a studio disagreeing with people. But I don't have any idea if that's what Mike wants to do.
Well, that same thing about to kind of transition, you know, Tom Brady's making the big move next year to being an analyst. You know, John, you remember when Joe Montana did this? He lasted a year because he just didn't like criticizing his, you know, quarterbacks and guys that he knew well. How do you see Brady filling in this role?
One thing we know Brady will do, he's under a lot of pressure because Greg Olsen's really good. Everybody thinks Greg Olsen is really good. Now, not only is Olsen being demoted, and he knew this was coming a year ago, he's taking a huge pay cut, and that's a bad double whammy when you do both. So whenever his contract's up, I'm sure the other networks are going to pursue him. Now, Brady, you know he's working like crazy. I saw him pushing some product on Pat McAfee yesterday, and he was talking about how hard he's working, how much he's putting into the broadcast. I thought Troy Aikman would be like Joe Montana. No opinion, terrible, because he was pablum throughout his career. People covered him, said, oh, man, there's no way Troy is going to be any good. And then Aikman's been great because he's not afraid. You don't have to take cheap shots to be opinionated, you know, to be negative. As long as you're pointing something out when somebody does something wrong, you don't go, oh, my God, that's a terrible play. You just say, hey, he made a mistake, a bad play. He should have done this. That's what you want. Is I want it like Tony Romo used to be. He would say, now, look here, I think this is going to happen, and it happened.
Yeah.
And now he doesn't do that. I don't know if he's not watching as much tape. He's not talking as many
I think they
people.
Told him not to, which is dumb.
But he's not as good as he was. Now, Brady, you know, nobody will outwork Brady.
Yeah.
But a lot of people don't think he'll be good. I look at him more like Aikman. I think he will be opinionated, not in a cheap shot manner, but I think he'll be just like Greg Olsen. He'll point out things that are going to happen, and he will point out things that happened and deserve criticism or praise.
Well, and I think this is an interesting conversation because we had it earlier this week that you got guys where I don't think Gronk has really been who we thought he would be on TV yet. I think J.J. Watt does a really nice job and should probably have a larger role with what he's doing with CBS. And so, you know, with Brady now available, you mentioned Vrabel. I think Vrabel would be excellent at it. I think Belichick would actually do a good job with it and show a different side of himself. So with that said, is it time for these networks to look at the Terry Bradshaws and Jimmy Johnsons and you know, guys that have been there for a really long time and maybe start to transition them out because they have options with, you know, guys that are removed from the game in the last year or two?
Well, they have those Q ratings where they test popularity, and no matter what we think of people as broadcasters, what the public thinks, not what we think, because they can withstand the criticism. And usually they add, you know, those not booths, but those sets are getting way too long. You got to use wide action to get them in there.
I know.
And I think J.J. Watt could have a bigger role if he wanted. I don't think he wanted in his first year out of football being a new dad. And I think I'm partial to him, but I think he's great. Thing about Belichick, I've seen Bill Belichick behind the scenes when he wasn't talking about himself or the Patriots, and he's outstanding. He's great at analysis. He's great at opinion. And I was on the Centennial Hall of Fame committee with him. There were 10 of us from the regular selection committee with all these guys from the NFL, like Belichick, John Madden, Ron Wolf, Bill Polian, Gil Brandt, and talking about players back to the 20s. We had conference calls every Friday during the season. And listening to how hard Belichick worked on that and spending 2 days in Canton with him when we voted, he'd be tremendous. There was a football life with him and Saban.
Yep.
And they were tremendous. That's why somebody brought up the coach cast, like the Manning cast, and have those two talking. What I don't like about the Manning cast, I don't want to see the guest. I quit watching. I want to see Peyton and Eli going at it. I don't want to hear people talking about the game. But in that case, I sure wish if they do it, it would just be Belichick and Saban. I would listen to that constantly.
Yeah, I would too. That would be a great idea. We'll have more with John McClain coming up next here on the Chasing Big Joe Show, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, continuing our conversation with John McClain from Houston. And, John, with the Super Bowl set between the Chiefs and the 49ers, I am curious, do you feel like that there is a chance that Andy Reid might be coaching his final game, or is that all just a rumor that we're just going to have to hear until it finally does happen whenever he decides?
Now, what do we think Andy's going to do? Play golf, play tennis, eat cheeseburgers for a living? He's a football coach.
Nuggies. He wants nuggies.
He's got a chance with Mahomes to end up as all-time winningest coach, and he's already going to the Hall of Fame. And right now, why would you walk away from a good thing? Every year, he's going to be a contender for the Super Bowl. It'll be well-deserved. So, no, I haven't thought for a second. About 3 or 4 years ago at the Combine, he was about to do his interview at a podium with the media, and I was sitting on the side of the podium, and he sat next to me, and he said, "How much longer are you going to do this?" I said, "I don't know." I said, "I'm not going to have them carry me out. What about you?" He said, "Well, they may have to carry me out." I love it. All coaches, they don't want to retire. They're retired by other bosses. And so, no, I don't think for a second Andy Reid is walking away. It's a media concoction.
I had one of the – and, in fact, I think you were standing there when this happened at the Combine 4 or 5 years ago. We were there. Floyd was there. And we had set – Floyd had gotten it set up where Andy was going to come on and Bill O'Brien was going to come on. And they showed up at pretty much the same time. So I'm standing there freaking out like, oh, no, what do we do? You know, do we put them on at the same time? Like, how does this work? And so Bill had sat down first, and they had kind of started the interview. And, you know, PR guys are trying to keep their coaches on schedule and stuff. And so he kind of looks at me and goes, well, we may have to bail. And Andy turns around, looks at him, and looks at me and goes, no, we're good. I'll wait on Floyd. Let him finish with Bill, and then we'll jump on. And that was
Andy
it.
Andy Reid is such a first-class act. He always has been. Who doesn't love Andy Reid? Everybody loves Andy Reid. And it's amazing. Before he got Patrick Mahomes, which, of course, is one of the greatest trades in history, before he got him, you know, Andy was looked at as a guy who's a really good coach who had problems with clock management and game management. And if you ask him about it, he had a short fuse. Now, nobody talks about Andy's issues. Did he just get smarter? No. He got Patrick Mahomes.
That's so great. Then he wins the Super Bowl, and he's a genius. And, John, we had this discussion yesterday because it was a 24-year anniversary of the Titans playing in the Super Bowl. And the question to you, it's the great what if. I mean, what in your perspective of covering the NFL, living in Houston, how would the dynamic have changed had the Titans won that Super Bowl 24 years ago, do you think?
Well, it'd been the first one in franchise history. I know that. The last time we had a championship game in Houston was involving the Houston team was the Oilers after the 79 season in Pittsburgh, and we haven't had one since. And I'm so jealous of the Chiefs because they've been to 6 in a row. But if they won one, I think it would have just like, you know, the Rams won one. So people still talk about those Rams teams mainly because of their offense and as great as it was, and mainly because of big play at the end of the game, and which was one of the biggest plays in Super Bowl history. But it's certain the narrative would have changed instead of, oh, yeah, the Titans went to Super Bowl. When was it? Oh, they lost the greatest show on turf, where if you win it, boy, remember that Titans Super Bowl after the 99 season?
Yeah, I mean, it would have been something. We like to play the what-if game all the time up here on the show. John, what's the first Super Bowl you covered?
Gosh, I think it was 1979 or 80. The best what-if in history to me is what if – Jets linebacker Mo Lewis had not hit Patriots quarterback Drew Bledsoe and knocked him out for a bunch of games in 2001, forcing second-year former sixth-round pick Tom Brady into the lineup. What if Lewis had missed the tackle? Bledsoe was healthy. Bledsoe was their best player. He was acknowledged as their team leader. Would Brady have ever played? Would his contract have expired and they let him go and he goes to another team? That's, to me, the greatest what-if ever.
I agree with that because what we know about Tom Brady, there's no piece of me that thinks that he wouldn't have, you know, like you mentioned earlier, nobody outworks Brady. That, like, he wouldn't have figured out how to make it another way. But we'll never know. Like, it's just you have to get the opportunity first, and he made the most of it.
One of the players on that team, Ted Johnson, who won three Super Bowls, he was a five-year veteran, a leader of the defense. In Brady's rookie year, nobody thought anything about him other than the fact when he'd get to go in the huddle at practice, he would be so excited and fired up. And they'd say, hey, look, settle down. It's just practice. And the other thing was all the wives wanted to sit around him at team parties. They called him Tommy. And one time Ted Johnson's wife said, well, it was so much fun talking to Tommy. And he's like, Tommy, who's Tommy? Tommy Brady. Tommy Brady, that rookie? Oh, he's so cute. Everybody loves him. And so that was what he was to them. And then they all thought, even though he did well, that Belichick would go back to Bledsoe. And when he didn't, the whole team was shocked. And, of course, it turned out to be one of the smartest moves in history.
Yes. Yeah, it is. I will get into it next week, a lot of the Super Bowl talk with all that big going on. But before we go, though, I wanted to get your thoughts real quick. Arthur Smith got a job or going to get a job for the Steelers as offensive coordinator. And, John, the backlash reading all the Steeler fans, like, he's a terrible head coach. I mean, the fact that he was a really good offensive coordinator, how do you weigh the two if you're a Steeler fan on this hire?
Well, those same Steeler fans went ballistic when they were about to name guard Russ Grimm an assistant coach on their team head coach. And at the last minute, the Rooney family met this kid from Tampa, Mike Tomlin, who'd only been a coordinator 1 year, and hired him. And everybody, how can you hire a head coach who's only been a coordinator 1 year? And look how that worked out. The Rooneys don't make a lot of mistakes. Tomlin, now he has. And the Rooneys, they sign off on all these big hires like that. So I think people would be more inclined to look back to the way it was with the Titans, not the way it was with the Falcons. But we know this. Steelers have two running backs. They like to run the ball. So Arthur's going to be in charge of that offense. Mike Tomlin will leave it up to him, and he will build it around the running game. But will his quarterback be Kenny Pickett? He will going in, but then will he try to sign Ryan Tannehill as a free agent? So there's a lot of questions at the most important position.
Yes, indeed. John, great stuff as always. We love these conversations, and we'll talk to you next week for the Super Bowl.
I look forward to it, guys. Thank you very much. You'll have a great trip.
Awesome. Thank you. John McClain joining us here on the program, as he always does every Wednesday at 9:30. There are allegations, once again, against the University of Tennessee. We will discuss those next here on the Chase and Big Joe Show, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
Drew McIntyre here from WWE. Wielding the Claymore can be a life of chaos. When I'm not dominating in the ring, Chumba Casino is how this warrior takes a wee break. With hundreds of online social games and new weekly releases, there's always something fresh to try. And those daily boosts, next level. Even my free time feels like Valhalla. So when life feels like a battle, kick up your feet, have some fun, and let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.